This is All Things Considered on 90.1 WABE. I'm Dennis O'Hare. Companies, advocates, and lawyers are still sorting out today's decision in what's called the Hobby Lobby case. The U.S. Supreme Court said that family-owned companies cannot be forced to pay for insurance coverages for things that violate their religious beliefs. Mark Goldfeder is a senior lecturer at the Emory University School of Law. He's also a senior fellow at the Center for the Study of Law and Religion at Emory University. Professor Goldfeder, welcome. Good to have you.
Thanks. Good to be here.
This is a decision that, at least at first blush, might seem like an all-or-nothing decision, but the more you look at it, the more nuance there is here, isn't there?
Sure. There's a lot of nuance, and it's a fairly narrowly tailored decision as well. I think the main concern that people worry about was that, if you read any of the articles, they said it's going to open the door for corporations to consider denying other benefits on the grounds of religious belief. You know, perhaps they would no longer offer equal pay to women. If their religion happens to find women inferior, perhaps they would no longer offer health care for employees in same-sex marriages if their religion frowned upon those unions. And what the court here really said was, no, we're not talking about anything like that. Obviously, those things would not be allowed. We're simply talking about this particular mandate and this particular clause, and it will not open the door for employers to cloak illegal discrimination behind religious practice.
The court did say that it was not going to interfere in this because there's no compelling interest for the state, as there would be in some of the examples you cited, like equal pay for women and that kind of thing. But
exactly.
does it get into, okay, in an individual case, what's the line between the compelling state interest and the right of the individual family company owner to exercise his or her beliefs?
Really, this has been the law since 1963. There was a little bit of a back and forth with Congress in the early 90s, and it ended with the passing of a statute called RFRA, which is Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which is what Hobby Lobby actually sued under. But essentially, we have safeguards put in place. Let's say a theoretical business owner's belief that they can discriminate against somebody is not going to automatically be given an exemption. The law still requires them to prove that not having the exemption creates a substantial burden in their belief system. That's check number one. Now, even if they do that, even if they are substantially burdened, they still won't get an exemption if it goes against a compelling government interest. And the government has the ability to decide what exactly are compelling government interests. Discrimination certainly is a compelling government interest. If there is a less restrictive way of making everybody happy, then the government will obviously do that. And here, Hobby Lobby won because it turns out there was a less restrictive way to do this without burdening any religious beliefs, without violating any compelling government interests. Here, the government could just chip in, which would eliminate the burden on Hobby Lobby and protect employees' entitlements.
When you say the government could chip in, the government could cover some of the benefits that an employee might want that Hobby Lobby is refusing to cover. Is that correct?
That's correct. Again, Hobby Lobby is fine with its employees doing whatever they want to do. Those are their constitutional rights. All Hobby Lobby was asking is that the government not force them to actually pay for four specific kinds of contraception out of a possible 20 varieties. Paying for those four, they sincerely claimed, would create a substantial burden on their religious belief. And that's all that they're asking, is that the government chip in for those particular four.
And it should be pointed out here that Hobby Lobby will still cover, at least in their case, Hobby Lobby will cover other forms of contraception that it doesn't have an objection to, right?
Right. 16 out of 20.
Could it be argued that the individual employee might be faced with an additional hurdle, though, in saying, okay, now I have to go to the government and try to get coverage for this?
If that happened, then absolutely yes. The key here is that everything should be absolutely smooth and above board before, and it should never trickle down to the employee having to do anything else. Everything should be taken care of at the corporate level, and I'm confident that Hobby Lobby will do that, meaning all the forms that need to be filled out before it ever gets to the employees will be taken care of.
You may have answered this actually at the beginning, but can you foresee this decision leading to other cases involving companies that try to define even more that line between the rights of the employer and the compelling state interest? In other words, companies saying, okay, I'm not going to pay for this, or I'm not going to hire that person. More cases where there will be more of a test of rights versus rights here.
I don't think there's really a problem. The floodgate's been open for quite a long time, and nothing's happened. And the reason is, again, because we have these safeguards. Anything that people are worried about, whether it's discrimination against women or discrimination against same-sex couples, or racial discrimination or religious discrimination, anything that happens in that regard is going to have to come up at the end of the day against the compelling interest hurdle. And if there is no way to do it like there was today, where everybody wins, then the government is not going to let that happen.
Mark Goldfeder is a senior fellow at the Center for the Study of Law and Religion at Emory University. He's also a senior lecturer at the Emory University School of Law. Professor Goldfeder, thanks so much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.